2019. This is The Better Life. I am your host. I am your co-host, Timothy Lawson. Had to edit there. Had to edit myself there, Eric. I apologize.
That's all right. That's all right.
And that is the voice of co-host, official co-host, Eric Rosenthal.
Thank you. The nameplate came in the mail, so I can hang that on my office wall, just so everybody knows. I like it.
I like that. How are you, sir?
Doing well, my friend. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. It was a nice wild card weekend. I did well. Sounds like you did well. We won't talk about wild card week because we got into that a little bit when we spoke with Mississippi Rob, who's coming on later on the show. But I wanted to. I went over to MGM National Harbor. Did one of my dropped in for some free play, got it, and bounced deals. I was usually, I'd just come back from travel, and usually on the same day of travel, I don't bother trying to get out to a casino. But it was a wheel of winners or something like that. So it was the I didn't know how much free play I had coming to me, right? And so just by the optimism of it being significant enough to bother, I went out there. It was $15. And whatever, I turned it into 10 and came back home.
And let me make a correction from the last episode. So I am not that familiar with National Harbor. At John EMTP informed me that it is in fact tier based. So we had that discussion last time whether your ADT, average daily theoretical, would play a role, and he said that the cap is really tier based.
It sounded like, and I'll have to check, but it sounded like it was the floor that was sliding. I don't know if the cap was the cap different. I know the floor was. So, like, for me, it was a minimum of 10. I think for gold, it was a minimum of 25. Platinum, minimum of 50. But I don't know about the
– Let me put it to you this way. I'm admitting that I was incorrect. That doesn't happen very often. Just enjoy it. And, you know, whether it was the floor or the ceiling, I was wrong. John cleared it up, and your tier-based benefits are working for you.
All right, thank you. Oh, man, it's I'm going to sit here and bask in this a little bit. I can't act like I thought I was right. I was just sort of assuming, right? So it's not like I took a stance on one way or the other, but it is good to have that cleared up. Have you been to the casino since we last spoke?
I have not. Sportsbook only.
Sportsbook only, yeah. Me too. Are you like anything this week?
Bama.
Bama, that'll be wrapped up by the time this airs. But you like Bama, I like the over, and people can I've bet the over, you've bet Bama, right?
Correct.
Okay. I want to make sure that that's clear. Because one thing I've always wanted to make sure I did this with like my Patreon, like my Monday, like the Monday Patreon episodes I did, Eric, over the NFL season. I always cleared up like, here's what I like, here's what I've already bet, right. You know, and I want to make sure it's clear that on the things that I've liked, which ones I actually have action down on yet, or which ones I haven't made action on yet, because I've seen. You don't see it so much anymore, I don't think, or at least maybe because I'm in a different position, my perspective is different. But, I remember like 6-7 years ago, a handicapper that people would respect say that they like this, and they lean this, and people would sort of take the lean as also being a play when it wasn't, right? The lean was sort of like, if you're asking my opinion, that's what it is, but I don't have any action on it. And I feel like sometimes that wasn't as transparent as it should be.
I'll be as transparent as possible. I have Bama minus 210 on the money line.
There we go. I took, and of course, I just have the minus 110 over. I got 57. I don't remember where it opened up, but I know it's at most places it's at 57.5. So I feel good that I beat the move, but I don't know if I beat it. I don't think I beat the opener by any means. No, it came way down. Never mind. Open 62.5, came all the way down, hit the floor at 57. That's where I got it, and I think it's bounced back up to 57.5. Wow, that's a lot of money on the under. 57. That's a big move.
Yeah.
That's a nice middle if someone could get that. If you get under 62.5 when that open and hit it even at 57.5, it's a 5-point middle. It's not bad. Anything this weekend?
Anything this weekend? You know what? I haven't even looked yet. Truth in Advertising, we are recording on Monday. Yes. January 7th, even though the show is Wednesday, January 9th.
Well, it's okay, because so, last time we recorded on Wednesday and released Friday, so we're making up those 2 days.
Right. We're just making up the 2 days. That's fine. I haven't had the time to really look. Last night was a late night at the sports book, cashing tickets, and I do not have anything on this upcoming weekend yet.
Cashing tickets is what it's all about. I have teased in a number of different ways the Rams, the Chargers, and the Colts. Cowboys, for as wrong as I was on them weeks ago, the Cowboys, and this isn't even opinion, this is just fact, if you just look at their performance, just are nowhere near as good on the road as they are when they're at home. And I think that the Rams have had plenty of time to game plan, and I think that Sean McVay will simply find a way to beat them. May not be in glorious fashion, which is one of the may not be in dominating fashion, which is why I'm teasing it. But I like the Rams there. I think the Colts are competitive enough to keep it within a one score game. And then, I mean, the Chargers have to be the most well-rounded team, I think, in the AFC. That's not, and I'm just echoing what plenty of other people are saying. That's not a hot take by any means. And I think 10 is plenty for them. So all of those teasers I feel good about. But and I also got a little bit on the Chargers money line because I think here's something else. In When I was on Beating the Book, Eric, one of the things I didn't like about my approach there, I took a players props approach when I was on with him, and while I like to talk about the philosophy of what I was looking at, it was difficult to really give a lean either way because player props don't come out until like hours before a game starts, right? And we were recording days before these games were starting, and so it's always difficult for me to like tell people which way I'm looking because if I like the receptions on a player, if the number's even off by one, it could change how I feel about it, right? From over to under.
Sure.
Right. But I will tell you this. Rob Gronkowski, if that number is 5.5 or higher, I am taking the under immediately. I'm going to guess it's going to come out at 5, at which point I won't take it because I would need 4 to win, and I don't know if I'm willing to take that, or I don't know if that's worth, I don't know if there's value there, but if it's a 5.5 where I can win on 5 receptions, yeah. Rob Gronkowski is not the Gronkowski that we've had, or that we've known in years past. I think there would be a lot of value in that. Now that I say that, now that I've made it public on the show, Eric, this is a stone cold fade for anybody. as they'll tell you, as people on Twitter will tell you, now that I've made my opinion public, it's probably a fade. But no, seriously, I think Rob Gronkowski under. I'm gonna be looking at a Melvin Gordon over. I'm probably gonna look at a James White under. I think the Chargers will hold White to much less than he usually gets against most opponents. Yeah, I would take a Tom Brady completions over. But that line is never low enough to take the over, unfortunately. That's never a number that's, you know, it's Tom Brady. So
So without giving any sides, I can tell you my approach for the week.
Okay.
You're going to have 4 games that are going to be, you know, playoff games in general are typically closer. You know, you will have your occasional blowout. But when I'm looking at playoff football, I like to play a lot of 3-team teasers and 4-team teasers, and you're catching either 10 or 13 points on them, assuming you can find that offered, and that's my standard play. It's too many points in the playoffs. So without telling you which side of which game I'm taking, because I haven't decided that yet, I play a lot of them. There's just too much to be had there. I mean, the dogs were barking this week, and, you know, most of the games, once you add in the 10 or 13 points, they were laughers. I'm expecting more of that. I don't think you're going to see too many blowouts. So those extra points make the difference.
Eric, people have been asking me, and by asking me, people are saying, hey, do you have any news on this? And since Vito isn't producing and we haven't heard from VC in a while, maybe this is a good time to give people any update there might be to Gamblepalooza?
Yeah, we're set for Atlantic City the weekend before tax day. So I think that's the 12th through the 14th. I think Vito wants to cap off with like a brunch on Monday. We're looking at both casino and non-casino events in Atlantic City. There's a couple of special restaurants we want to try to get people into that are Atlantic City favorites that are outside of casinos. And we have a couple of ideas that we're working on, but it is set. I know there has been some question as to whether or not it will in fact be there. It's locked up. I don't believe we're going to have a host property. Talking to a number of people that are coming, most people have comps wherever they play. So we're actually going to spread it out, and we're going to hold events in a few different properties. And you know, nobody should feel like they need to stay at one place over another. Play and stay where you're most comfortable. And we'll have a few events each day for everybody to get together.
I like that.
Yeah.
Very good.
Easy.
Yeah, very easy. I like easy. And this, you said April 12th through 15th. Is that right?
Let me look at the calendar because
or
13th, I am.
Does it start the 12th or start the 13th? Or does it start Friday or start Saturday?
It's going to start on Saturday. Some people are coming in Friday. So we'll probably have like an unofficial thing Friday night the 12th, but it's officially going to be Saturday the 13th, Sunday the 14th, ending on Monday the 15th after brunch.
Okay, very good. All right, well, Eric, let's roll into our discussion with Mississippi Rob. He was down in Biloxi. You couldn't make it to Biloxi, unfortunately. But
I could not make it to Biloxi.
Yeah, but he was down there when I went down there. We did a little trip report back in December. And because I wanted to make sure we got through a nice trip report, we didn't bother with any of the traditional questions about his life as a gambler. So you and I got a chance to talk to him just earlier today about what it means to be a gambler.
Yeah, good guy, good conversation. Hope to meet him soon.
Yeah, enjoy. On my virtual right, my official co-host, my official partner in crime, Mr. Eric Rosenthal. Sir, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Of
What's going
course.
On, guys?
I say thanks for joining us. Of course, here. I need to get used to you're here. You're expected to be here. Not thanks for joining us. Thanks for showing up, man.
Part of the furniture.
Part of the furniture. Okay. Are you more of a sofa or a love seat kind of guy?
Oh, definitely a love seat.
Yeah.
I guess it depends on who you ask.
Yeah, right. To my left, someone for his second appearance on the show, but our first time getting a chance to know him as a gambler, per se, Mississippi Rob. Sir, thanks for joining us.
Yep, no problem at all. It's good to see you or hear from you again, I guess.
Yeah, see, hear, you know, it's in 2019, it's all the same. You know what I'm saying? Twitter, podcast, in person, doesn't matter. Did you have any action down on Wild Card Weekend, Rob?
Let's see. No, I actually didn't. I had one horrific bad beat last week on Ohio State. I got in early on the number through a friend, got a bet down for me, and that was a horrific beat I saw after I got back into the States. I was on a cruise last week, so I was kind of out of touch. But so I had a bad beat there, and then I've actually – the only thing I've got going for the NFL is I've got a it was a 15-2 payoff on my futures bet on the Saints to win the NFC Championship. So I'm still kind of riding that one through, hoping and praying. I'm hoping they can make it to the NFC Championship at least, and I can maybe hedge a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. So to win the NFC, oh, that's a good – I think you're okay there. I think.
Yeah. I think, as long as we don't have any more miraculous games from the Eagles just pulling things out of their butt, you know, at that makes me a little nervous. They can just, no matter what happens, pull something out.
If there was a reason to be nervous, it would be that the Saints have not been great in passing defense, and that's where Nick Foles gets to play in the passing offense, right? So,
See, I was kind of leaning more towards wanting to get a hold of the Cowboys this round, or even the Bears, at the NFC Championship with their run, with their more run heavy offenses, and that's kind of our strength is the run defense. But yeah, this is actually the ticket I've been holding since it was the first sports bet I made at the Beau Rivage back in August, whenever they first opened up in Mississippi. So it was like a week or week and a half after or so, and I just kind of, being a lifelong Saints fan, I guess I kind of got lucky too. But I went ahead, and I think the odds were a little better. I felt like to get it there than for the Super Bowl, so I went with that, and I figured I could let it all ride if I wanted to, if we actually won the NFC.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, I don't think the Saints have a problem against either Dallas or Los Angeles. So if you get past Philly, I think things are looking up. Eric, how'd you do over?
I hope that's the case.
Yeah, Eric, how'd you do over Wild Card Weekend?
Monster weekend.
Monster weekend. That's Monster what I like weekend. To hear.
All I can say is doink. Dude. Now here's the funny thing, because I was kind of thinking this through this morning. There have been a number of times in my life where a game has ended in such a fashion. I can't remember the last time it went in my favor.
Yes.
Every single time that I can remember, a missed field goal or a botched snap or, one of these like quirky, like how the game ends, wound up costing me so much money. I mean, just I cannot. The last time I can remember like a missed field goal benefiting me was Scott Norwood in the Super Bowl. What was that? How many years ago was that? Giants Bills. I mean,
Giants Bills.
I might have been in middle school then, Eric.
I was in middle school. I mean,
then I was way before then.
That's. I mean, that's what we're. That's what we're.
Ooh,
talking
yeah.
about. Yeah. So, in any event, I had a number of teasers. I like to play the 10-point teasers, so I had Chicago plus 3.5. And as we got down to the last game, I looked at it and I said, well, the only way this is going to lose is, if the Eagles come up big. And I didn't see it happening, but I put a chunk of money on the money line. And just the way it fell, every teaser hit, my parlay hit, my money line, which was not a small bet, hit. Everything came up Milhouse. Yeah. Now, to be fair, I am not suggesting I have any betting prowess. I think teasers overall, like I think the books got slammed on them. I don't think anybody made any money on the teasers book wise. But yeah, it just everything came up right.
Very good. I was going into the weekend with a lot of promise in having a nice weekend. Had a couple days of bad NBA, some unfortunate NBA losses. So the weekend went very well for me, but I have just minimal gain on the week, other than having a multi-unit profit week. But I'm not going to complain coming out any week in the black. So it was a nice weekend. Mississippi Rob, you were on episode 37 back in December when you and I did a trip report from my trip down to Biloxi. You were there along with some other members of the community. Didn't really get a chance to learn much of you as a gambler, how we traditionally do here on The Better Life, and that's what this recording is meant to do. So you know how this begins, Rob. Bring us back to that first exposure to gambling. When do you remember seeing it for the first time?
Well, I was born in South Louisiana, but I mostly grew up down on the coast in Mississippi. And so for as far back as I could remember, as long as literally as far back as I can remember before grade school. I knew the casinos were around, and then years later, you know, even a few years back, you know, I Googled it trying to see when things started happening down there, and it looks like, I think it was in the early 90s, like 92 or so, maybe, when the casinos started coming in into the Biloxi area. And so for all of my life, I've been within an hour's drive at probably worst case from a casino. So I'm just used to that. But growing up, I would say we kind of visited the casinos here and there just for other reasons. My parents weren't big gamblers and still aren't to this day. But we would go there for the food, or did my parents go see a show. You know, as a kid, I'd go play in the arcade, things like that. But I'd say my biggest, or my first real side of true gambling was probably just playing with family around the holidays. We'd play some different card games and stuff. And the first one I remember being able to play, because I think it took us about, everybody had three nickels, and it was a game called Pass the Trash. And it's, you can have as many people as you want playing it. And basically you just, everybody sits around the table and you've got three nickels, or you can do it for whatever you want, nickels, quarters, dollars, shoot $100 bills if you want. But, everybody just gets one card, you deal around to your left, and you start at the left of the dealer, and everybody just has to decide whether they want to keep their card or trade with the next person. And so an ace is low and a king is high, and so you just start trading around the table. And so basically when that ace or a two, that terrible card, comes around, eventually they'll probably end up swapping it with somebody who has a worse card, right? They might trade a two and get an ace back. Well, then that person says, no, I'm good, I'll stay. And so basically you just go around, and the lowest person each time has to put their unit in, their nickel, their whatever it is. And so I remember, you know, obviously the money was nothing, but whenever I was probably 6, 7, 8 years old whenever we play it. And so I just liked, you know, the competition, the cards, the games. And so, you know, by the end of it, somebody wins, you know, $2. So really the money was irrelevant, but technically looking back on it, it was some gambling. So that little, you know, kind of family card games with nickels and quarters was probably my first introduction to true gambling, I would say.
Very good. I remember, I don't know why I'm just remembering this story now, but I remember when I was in grade school, I'd go over to a friend's house and we'd play five-card draw poker, and I think we played like Joker's Wild or something like that. Something was wild where, like, you could make a five-card, you could have five of a kind. And I was playing this kid, and he got five of a kind a handful of times, and I knew he was cheating, and for the life of me, I couldn't figure it out. For the life of me. And we were playing for like baseball cards and football cards. It didn't really matter, right? Because we were only using the cards we didn't care about. But it was like, it was, you know, there was still a little bit of a pride, still some pride involved in that, right? And man, by the third time he got five of a kind, I was like, wow. I was like, I could not figure it out for the life of me. Yeah.
See, and growing up, now I have an older sister, but that's my only sibling, and she's not as competitive as I am, or liking to play card games or board games or anything like that. But I was always the one who was accused of cheating, even though I really wasn't. I mean, it wasn't fun to me to have to cheat to win a game, but I really wasn't trying to cheat or wasn't doing anything like that. But I was, looking back on it, always trying to look for like a sneaky way to get an advantage over somebody, right? To where I'm still making sure I'm within the rules, but I'm going to try and look ahead and start counting up things, whether it's cards or dominoes or whatever else. And it would take forever for me. You know, I'd take a little extra time on my turns, and everybody kind of be like, what are you doing? Hurry up. What, you know, or you're cheating something else. And really I was just trying to look at some of the percentages and figure out things in my head to stay kind of ahead of everybody else. Cause even though it might be mostly a game of luck, you know, it would drive me crazy to just kind of just hope for a lucky win, as opposed to trying to figure out the best way to play it.
Eric, do you and your family play games?
A lot of games. Yeah. We're heavy board game, card game. A lot of it growing up, there was a lot of, and by the way, I played the same game that, Rob described, except in the Northeast, it's not Pass the Trash. Do you have an explicit title on this show?
I'll
abbreviate it. We call it F Your Neighbor.
Yeah.
Pass the Trash, but yeah. same game.
Yeah, we've
just a thousand miles apart. That's how you translate it, huh? It.
Yeah, yeah. Just, you know, you need a little Northeast attitude, all of a sudden the name changes.
And I'll add an interesting part to that, Eric. The one time a year where I knew we always were going to play that game was at Thanksgiving. My grandparents had some friends who were snowbirds, and they would come down, you know, during the winter to Florida, and then they'd go back up north, and One was from Maine, one was from Boston, I think, area, generally speaking. And so basically on their trek to the south, they would stop in for a couple weeks at my grandparents' house, and that's when I'd see them each year. But they were the ones who actually taught us that game. But, you know, my grandparents being, you know, Southern Baptist household, they may have actually just chose to be a little more polite when they put the name out there. But they were actually the ones, I believe, who taught it to my grandparents.
That's funny. So maybe it is more commonly known as F your neighbor, and they just cleaned it up to teach the kids the game.
I wouldn't doubt that for a second, because I haven't played it in many years, but I do remember specifically playing it as probably a 6 or 7 year old. And I know that was not going to be allowed to say those kind of words in my grandparents' house.
That's funny. So, you know, I play in a monthly poker game where it's dealer's choice. Friend of the show, our buddy Ed at Scan720, he's got somebody who actually calls for that game even today.
Oh my gosh. So
I mean, I've literally played that game within the last 30 days.
It is a special, it might be, you know, mostly luck. There's a little bit of strategy to it too, but there are a few things better than whenever you get that somebody wants to trade with you, give you a three, and you give them that two, and you just, no, I'm good, I'll just sit here. Yeah, and then you just kind of get to enjoy it all the rest of the way around.
You got that Cheshire Cat grin just waiting. Yep.
That's right.
Great Alice in Wonderland reference right there. when you came of age, did you start going to the casino? Like, was that something you were like eager to do when you hit of age, or did it take a little while?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Without a doubt. So, I actually got to go on a cruise with my now wife and her family back in college. I think it was our freshman year of college. So I was 18, not even 19 years old yet. And so we went on a cruise, and on these cruises down here in the Caribbean, you could only be 18. So that was actually my first time gambling. I played a bunch of blackjack for, you know, $5 or $6 a hand, you know, just cheap minimums. And I mean, I played all week on like a couple $100 and ended up losing some, but man, I was ecstatic. But that's all I knew how to play, with basic strategy. And so of course, after that, it was just, you know, just counting down the days till I turned 21. And I still remember, let's see, I think I turned 21 on like a Wednesday. And I remember that Friday night, I went down there with some family, a few friends, and we actually went down to the Beau Rivage and played down there. And the one thing I remember about it was even though it was my first, you know, real time at 21, was where, you know, everybody else gets a bunch of beginner's luck so that they can kind of get sucked back in, or at least that's what everybody feels like, you know, get some of that beginner's luck. I remember saying that I lost probably $200 or $300, which was, you know, a pile of money to 21-year-old kid in college. But but I remember saying, of course, I wouldn't get any beginner's luck because they know I'm going to come back regardless of whether I win or lose. So, but yeah, I was counting down the days till I could get down there. But I mostly started playing blackjack probably for that first year, because it was the one I'd read up most on and kind of the simplest one, you know, to start out with.
Yeah. And then, you know, from then up until today, I mean, I know just from firsthand of hanging out with you that you like to play blackjack, pie gal, craps, you bet on sports. If you had to choose a game of choice, your preferred game, what would you say is number one on your list of preferred games?
Oh, it's without a doubt craps. Whenever I still remember when one of my buddies first taught me how to play it on my bachelor party. It was probably about a year after I turned 21. We were down at the IP Casino, which we got to visit down in Biloxi, and I got playing, and my buddy's kind of teaching it to me, not fully understanding it. But the only thing I remember from that entire trip was some guy coming up next to me, and I was having a good time with probably $100 buy-in or something simple on a $5 table, and this guy comes in and drops like $2,000 or $3,000 cash on the table, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, what is he doing? He covered every number, you know, all place bet like 100 or 120 on every number, and pass line, you know, covering everything, basically probably betting $100 to $150 on every number. And I promise you that joker rolled, I bet you he rolled for an hour straight just about by himself without seven and out. And then the guy next to him, in between me and him, when he got the dice, he rolled for about 45 minutes. And then I got the dice, and I did pretty well myself and rolled for about 30 minutes. I mean, that was probably if not the luckiest streak I've ever seen. And then after I rolled, that guy cut out loose. So there, I bet you he won $5,000 to $10,000 that in that first night I ever learned how to play the game. So I didn't ever expect to make that kind of money, and clearly I still haven't. But I have no doubt I have been kind of hooked to the game ever since. You know, learning all the, you know, the inside bets, all the percentages, the odds, the, you know, the house edge, everything else. That one's just kind of, and the main thing for it too is whereas I enjoy blackjack, but you're not always playing as a team, but there's just nothing like being at the craps table when you finally hit that one good roll or that one good session and most everybody at the table's winning. And that's one thing that's kind of been interesting listening to some other podcasts, and especially yours, Tim, when you talk about playing the don't. That's still one thing to this day. When I was playing just last week on the cruise, some guy was playing, and I was just talking to him, friendly conversation, and I was telling him, I said, still to this day, I've never played the don't pass. I can't bring myself to do it. You know, eventually I might, but at least I've made it, you know, I guess, what, 9-10 years of gambling so far and hadn't done it. I'm going to try and hold out a little longer.
Well, typically when I'm with people, I play the pass just for that. There's been a couple times, and Eric's been there for a couple of them, where when I'm with people, we decide to go on the don't together. But I you know, it is interesting you point that out, because when you're on the blackjack table, the Pai Gow table, on the roulette table, right? It's very easily, it's very easy for one person to be doing poorly and the other person to be doing very well. But on the craps table, at the very least, so long as you're on the pass line, of course, it's possible that people playing numbers and hard ways and stuff could do better or worse than someone who's just doing pass and don't and comes. But in general, there's sort of like a theme of people doing well or people not doing well that you sort of all get to join in together.
Yeah. Just like, you know, blackjack, when the dealer busts, you kind of got a team camaraderie there. And the same thing in Pai Gow, when that dealer, you know, turns over that, you know, jack high or even king high, whatever, Pai Gow, and you know, kind of the whole table celebrates. That's kind of what it is more often than not with most of the roles on the craps table, you know. So that definitely kind of sucked me in that first time, and I've enjoyed it ever since, trying to teach some of my buddies to kind of come over and ease them into the game a little bit. And they, you know, and like I say, it kind of stinks those, you know, few times here and there where it just goes ice cold right off the bat, but man, whenever you get that one good one, you can make it back quick and have a really good time doing it.
Yeah, you talk about the guy that walked up, bought in, and just took all the numbers across and stuff like that. Even on days where I loosen up a little bit when I'm with friends or having a good time, maybe play a hard way or two. I think I can count one or two sessions in my life where I've taken the 5 or 9, but I've never gone across, like bought in and gone across. Eric, have you ever been that type of player at the craps? Have you ever, like, buy in and just take all the numbers like an action junkie?
So the guy who taught me craps, that was his way of playing. So I have, but it was early on and for low stakes, and I'm gotcha. I'm thankful for that. But so I got a question, Rob. The first time that you played, right, it just looked so easy. The money, the chips were just being passed to you. Like, how long did it take for reality to set in?
I would say I felt pretty comfortable right off the bat, but I can still remember. I still remember on the cruise, because I kind of have like a nervous twitch, and I don't know if it's getting excited or nervous or what, but I'll just start rocking my leg like crazy. And I still remember my wife, you know, basically every, you know, few minutes or something, I was sitting down there at that blackjack table that first time, and she would just like have to put her hand on my knee to just like calm me down, you know. So I didn't really have any issues, but I was kind of more nervous about the etiquette than anything. But as far as, you know, hit, stay, feeling comfortable with the dealers, all that kind of stuff, everything was pretty good. It's just I kind of wanted to get more comfortable with the etiquette, and that transitioned over to craps as well, you know, just with all the kind of nuances of not pissing the dealers off or the other players off and stuff like that. So that was kind of the biggest issue I had, but otherwise not really. You know, I've just always grown up playing, you know, different forms of poker and with poker chips and cards and everything like that. So I felt pretty comfortable right off the bat. It was just kind of, like I said, the etiquette thing was the biggest issue to pay attention to for me.
I think what I mean is, you know, your first crap session, First shooter, 45-minute roll. Second shooter, half-hour roll.
Oh.
Then you had a good roll, right? Like, you got to be thinking this is the greatest game ever. And,
yes.
And then I'm sure there were subsequent experiences that did not go quite as well.
Yeah, so yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, that went – I mean, it was hot. I remember earlier that night, even a dealer paid me wrong right now. I was playing, you know, $5 red chips, and somehow they ended up giving me, like, 2 green chips. And I asked my buddy, he's like, just shut up and take it. You know, I'll explain it later. But they had mispaid me, you know, so everything was going right. And I was like, yeah, this is easy. This is great, whatever else. And I still remember so that was the bachelor party before my wedding, and on the tail end of our wedding, because I'd been getting these offers from the casino for that trip, I convinced my wife that we should go stay at the IP for a couple nights afterwards, and you know, so I'm gambling this and that, and so about a month or two later, whenever it was, right after we got married, I came back to reality real quick, and I gave them back all of that money plus some, I'm sure. And after 2 days of sitting in the casino and losing every session, that's when I kind of came back to reality and realized, you know, this can be just as tough as blackjack or anything else. So yeah, it's I could say even the last couple of years, actually Biloxi was the first when I was down there with Tim and a few others there, that was the first winning crap sessions I'd had in probably, which now I don't go as often as I want to, but you know, I'll go once every few months, and it's probably been year and a half since I'd had a good session, you know. So so yeah, it gets to be few and far between now, but that first one, yeah, it did kind of set me up with a little false hope probably.
Yeah. You live down there by Biloxi. I know you've traveled otherwise. Give me something you enjoy about Biloxi that's maybe over or more than in other destinations, and what's something you wish Biloxi would catch up on to make it a little bit more attractive versus the other destinations?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I like the most about Biloxi is probably, for me personally, just because I grew up down there, I just enjoy being able to get back and being familiar with everything, so that makes a big difference, and obviously now the biggest positive to it is, for me, is the sports betting. Like, I mean, that changed everything for me. Like, I can go play craps and, you know, plenty of places, Biloxi still being, one of the closest and one of the best ones, you know, that I enjoy. But the sports betting is definitely the biggest thing, biggest pull for me down there now, and having so many different options. Cause like I said, when we were planning that trip, there's 8 different casinos right there within that like couple mile range or a few mile range. And it actually turned out to be a lot of different sports book providers kind of, which is nice to kind of be able to bounce between them if you need to. But probably the biggest thing that I would like as far as change is to have more of the casinos to be more of a built up bigger resort, you know, cause some of them are pretty condensed, pretty small, and don't have a lot of amenities to them. Like, they'll have a handful of restaurants, but they don't really, give you anything close to the Vegas experience or anything like that. As far as being content to stay in one property the whole time or things like that. But now the Beau Rivage is the closest one, and I could go there anytime and stay for, a handful of days, and especially in the summertime with the pool with the pool and everything else there. That's definitely by far the closest thing to it. But that's probably, by and large, the biggest improvement I would say all of them can make. And hopefully it'll become more of a destination, since we're the only state in the Southeast right now that's got, the legal sports betting, or at least we have that probably for maybe another year or two at the most before some others jump in.
Yeah. You got action on Alabama Clemson?
I do not. I actually saw it today, because I've been traveling. I haven't been able to get down there, but I have a feeling. I mean, I think just as talented as both of those offenses are. Now, I'm a big I'm a Mississippi State fan, graduate and everything, so I'm very biased when it comes to the SEC and especially the SEC West. But so normally speaking, I'm going to talk up Alabama, even though I don't like them. I, respect what they do. But I will say, as Clemson changed out their quarterbacks or committed to this one quarterback midseason, and ever since, I think both of those offenses are so spectacular that I think it's going to be – I think the over is probably the best bet. I think it was somewhere in like the low to mid-50s. And if I could get to one, that's probably what I would take tonight. But if I had to pick a side, I would lean towards Clemson just to take the points, because those two teams, as long as they've – as long as Clemson's got that quarterback, I think they'll be competitive.
Yep, I'm with you. The over right now, as I see, it's 57. I lean that way as well. Eric, do you have any action on tonight's game?
Moneyline Bama.
Moneyline Bama.
Mm.
Oh, that's interesting. I see Clemson plus 180 on the money line. What are the chances you'll give me 2-1 on a charity bet? I'll take Clemson.
For charity? Yeah, I'll do it. Sure.
Yeah. All right. Very good. I still owe you for the Dolphins Jaguars game that went way the other way than I thought
it
would.
We gotta come up with a system on settling up because I don't know if my charity is gonna survive without your $25. We gotta keep the lights on over there.
I see. All right. Well, I'll make sure I should have done better. I was so Eric, I appreciate you, by the way, not reminding me that I owe you that because the Dolphins not covering that day was horrible to my betting that day. So, but yeah, I do owe you on that charity bet. Yeah, I'll take Clemson if you'll give me 2-1.
Yeah, all right, bet.
All right, sounds good. Rob, you went on that? No. How does your family feel about it? I think this is always the most interesting part of these conversations because as gamblers, it seems so normal for us to hang out. What we do is so normal, but like people who aren't gamblers don't get it, right? A lot of times they don't understand the appeal. Sometimes they're uncomfortable with it, and especially when they could potentially be affected by any financial implications. You can get into it as little or as much as you'd like, but how does your family feel about you being a recreational gambler?
Yeah, so nobody has any like real issues with it. Like I said, you know, most of my family's pretty religious and Southern Baptist background, which is pretty conservative. You know, the no drinking, no gambling thing is the typical system there. So, but it's not like my family is any kind of like they don't overdo anything, or just because other people say things are wrong doesn't mean that, you know, they're going to kind of reference their own beliefs. And so nobody has any issues with it, but I'll definitely say I am the outlier for sure within my family. My sister, she, you know, if she walks into a casino, it's a stretch for her to put $5 on anything bet, and she'll go there for a restaurant, whatever else. And the same for both my parents. My mom enjoys it. She's kind of like me, you know, because we grew up playing cards as I grew up, we played cards and games and stuff. So she'll enjoy it. Like she'll sit by me and, you know, want to play video poker or something like that. But my dad, he could care less, you know, that's nothing for him. And most of my extended family, nobody's really does much. And I will say that now as far as my wife goes, she goes in there and she'll play here and there, but she could go stay at a casino for 2 or 3 days and never touch anything as far as a slot machine or table games. Nothing really entices her, but she will go in there and play roulette from time to time, and I'll sit there and, you know, watch her, no big deal, and we'll enjoy that. She likes the last time we went in Vegas, some of the best time that we had was sitting down for a few hours playing Pai Gal, nice slow pace. She can enjoy that for times, but she does not have any desire to touch a craps table or anything like that. I've drug her over to it and explained it to her a time or two, but every time we get up there, she's like, I'll just go do something else. So she's not real big on it, but I will say that, yeah, I'm definitely the outlier when it comes to most of my family. They don't, when I get to talking about it, this and that, it's almost like I'm talking another language to them. You know, most, the only folks they really have known in the past probably who enjoy it as much as I do or talk about it, you know, a little more than average and stuff, are problem gamblers, right? And so that, you know, whenever they hear too much about it, and this goes for friends and family of mine, but you know, so their inclination is to think, you know, you've got some kind of gambling problem or whatever else. And so I've had to have a discussion with folks here and there and just explain to them, you know, my kind of logic about it and saying, you know, I can't ever go too much. And if that amount of money lasts me 10 minutes or if it lasts me 3 hours, it is what it is. And then I got to go, you know. So so I manage it pretty well and try to balance that with my family and obviously making sure my wife's comfortable with what I'm doing and what we do and how much time we spend at places. But yeah, I'm definitely the outlier and have to spend a little extra time explaining things to folks and probably I wouldn't say that I like outright talk about it to just random folks here and there all the time, unless they bring something up about casinos and I'll, you know, I can get to talking about casinos in Vegas and, you know, different things I like and dislike. But the thing that is more so probably amped up my paying attention and focus on it and talk about it amongst other folks is the whole sports betting deal over the last, you know, couple years and it getting, you know, put out to a lot of the other states and kind of becoming more well known to just the average sports fans. And that's got you know, that's given me an opportunity to talk about it a lot more.
Yeah, absolutely. Rob, you've been a part of this community here. How many of these events have you got an opportunity to attend? Have you how familiar are you with? Oh, go ahead.
I have not actually been to any of them besides that in Biloxi. I've tried to coordinate it to where I could get up to Vito's deal up in Connecticut whenever he had it last year, and then I've tried to coordinate it, line it up to where I could get, make it to a Vegas vacation, but I just never have been able to. So the catch to that, which you've probably seen me post about, or I mentioned it when we were in Biloxi, but and the last – let's see, I've got four young boys, but my twin boys were born in November. They just turned two. So we had them in November 2016, and then I actually started listening to the podcast a couple months later as we were making some road trips, and obviously, I had some restless nights there with helping my wife take care of twin boys, and so that was when I first kind of started listening to some of these different podcasts, especially starting up with You Can Bet on That, and then kind of branching out to Vito's and a number of the others. But and so ever since then, I've tried to coordinate things. But so I've got two-year-old boys, a five-year-old boy, and then actually we've got one boy who'll be he's 11 months old now. So needless to say, it's very extremely hard to coordinate anything right now while they're this young and this little. So I'm going to try and see if I can coordinate some things to where in May I can make it out to Vegas, the Vegas vacation one. So I'm still kind of working some details on that. I'm hoping I can line some things up. But Biloxi was actually the only one where I've actually got to meet anybody.
Yeah. You mentioned you wish some places in Biloxi had more like restaurants and stuff. Like, what is it about a casino or a resort that you enjoy past the gambling? Like, what do you do in between sessions? What do you do after you've had a nice or a bad day at the casino when you're staying there? What are some things about that environment that you take advantage of other than just the gambling?
Yeah, the biggest thing for me is that as long as I'm getting decent offers from a place, the thing that I love the most is to be able to go enjoy the pools and the drinking, you know, basically in my off time. And that's something that my wife enjoys too, right? So that kind of makes it simple to where I can go play for an hour or two, and then we're going to meet back up and spend all afternoon or something like that at the pool and getting drinks and everything else, relaxing and not that I'm, you know, some kind of big party scene or anything, but I could really relax and enjoy myself out at the pool drinking. And that's the nice thing about Vegas. And then it's the nice thing about Biloxi too is most of the weather, I'd say at least for sure in Mississippi, I mean, probably 8 months out of the year, you could be out at the pool having a drink, enjoying yourself, you know, so there's not much of a down season when it comes to that. So that's probably the biggest pull for us. If I can, even if I lose some of my money, it's not a bad offset if I've got, free rooms for a couple nights to get away for a weekend or something and have the pool to get down to and some of the restaurants and everything. So it might seem like a big loss, just, you know, at times to other folks, but really when you're getting the free rooms and everything else, some of the other offers they give you, it balances out pretty well for me.
Rob, did you say you have four kids, five and under?
That is correct. Yes. Yeah.
Ten.
Yeah. We all boys. Yeah. We had a 5 year old, two 2 year olds, and about to be a 1 year old.
So, all right. For starters, God bless you and your wife. Secondarily,
yeah, we need it every day.
I can only imagine. Tim, I'd like to name my charity as the Buy the Mississippi Rob Family a TV. So they have something else to do with charity. Wow.
Yeah, at some point there, we finally figured it out. But the problem was in between figuring it out and that last making sure that could never happen again. We have one more surprise.
So your 5 year old is probably old enough. Well, I'm sure he's old enough. Have you done anything with cards or things of that nature to teach him math or as an aid?
I can't say that I pull it out at like trying to help him necessarily, but whenever he's got certain things that we've got to work on, I mean, not necessarily homework related, but when I can see that I kind of get his attention, you know, I like to talk through some like mental math things with him and stuff and kind of motivate him and encourage him to learn those things. And then anytime I can see that I've got his attention, which is kind of hard to get for a 5 year old, I'll start, you know, kind of explaining things over to what we do here. And actually, he was the one, and I put it out there a little while ago. We let him check the mail while we were outside playing one day, just a few weeks ago. And, he checked the mail and brought it back to me and my wife. And he said, Dad, there's something for you in there. And I was like, he doesn't know how to spell my name. He knows how to spell his own, but he doesn't know how to spell mine. I'm like, how do you know that it's for me? And he said, 'cause it's got dice on it, Dad. And he's like, you play dice. And I was like, oh no. You know that. And my wife just looks at me with that, you know, silly grin, just like, yep, that's your son. So anyways, he knows enough about it. And I still remember trying to, I got me a little craps felt one, maybe the first or second time I went to Vegas, just as a little keepsake from one of those little stores. And, I'd put it out on the pool table at home, and I'd get the dice out, and we'd kind of roll it back and forth, and I'd try and explain little things to him. But basically, without explaining the rules, I'd just let him sit up there, and I'd let him roll it, and then I'd tell him what we're trying to do. You know, we're trying to roll that number again instead of a seven and stuff like that. So he doesn't understand any kind of big concepts, but he definitely could tell that, you know, we like to get a little competitive, and he'll like to roll dice or play cards here and there. And he's definitely got my competitive nature when it comes to things. So when he gets going, he doesn't like to lose, and he definitely likes to compete at one thing or another.
All right. Good luck with that. I'm a few years ahead of that with the competitive nature and teaching the kids games and things of that nature. And, I learned as a kid, and I learned from my father and my grandfather. And that's where all of this, the better life stuff comes from. It all starts at home.
Yeah, that's right. And that's one thing that's really probably good about my wife is she kind of likes to, she's a good keeping me in check thing, because she's competitive, but she doesn't go overboard as sometimes I tend to do. So it's good to have her there to help keep me in check and make sure that I'm teaching them good things and good habits all along the way. And that's a big point of it, is I might teach them a little bit about a certain game, but then I got to teach them the responsible sides of it and being polite and not being a sore loser and things like that, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm, Eric, you're so right on, the better life really starts at home. And you know, if you listen to, the interviews we've had on this show, I mean, you know, so many of them, that's where it started, right? It started with the grandparents, started with the dad, started with the mom, started with, you know, it started with someone being either into this stuff or teaching them about it, or, you know, or at least within like the extended family, an uncle or neighbors or something like that, right? And it's so interesting how, you know, Rob, it's so interesting that, you know, your kid just picks up on that dice are affiliated with dad, you know, and just like that, yeah. You know, that little bit, you know, and it's so interesting how those little icons in our lives so become so associated with us. Rob, I know you have work obligations coming up. I want to be mindful of your time. What are some of your gambling goals in the near future? What are either a destination or an experience that you want to have that is themed somehow in gambling? It doesn't have to be this year, but something that you're sort of mindfully trying to make happen.
So I would say, I mean, obviously I want to get to one of the meetups and stuff. So hopefully I'll be able to make it out to one of the Vegas vacations, maybe in May. That is a short-term goal of mine, but I will say, and I don't think it'll happen this year, 'cause I know some of my local buddies are going to be tied up. But one thing I've always wanted to do is, go spend some time, like obviously make it to Vegas for March Madness. And I know that's not in the cards anytime soon, but maybe this year, and hopefully worst case next year, to go spend, you know, a weekend, and especially a whole full like Thursday, Friday, and probably even to Sunday of that opening weekend for March Madness. That's something I've always wanted to do. And I don't keep as close a ties on college basketball as I used to, but that's definitely something that I'd love to do, to just go sit there, you know, from morning till night and just be able to watch those games and, you know, a pile of them all at one time like that, all split across 2 days. That's something I've wanted to do for a long time. And so that's what I'm hoping to do in the next, if not this year, maybe worst case next year, spend a long weekend doing that.
Very well. Eric, anything left for Mississippi Rob from you, as far as his life as a gambler goes, before we wrap up?
No, I just want to, I guess, as close to in person as I can, apologize for not making the Biloxi trip, and I'm glad you all had a good time, and thanks for coming on the show.
Yep, I've enjoyed it. Thanks so much, and yeah, don't you worry. Biloxi will be there waiting whenever we need to meet up another time.
Rob, before we let you go, we need you to play Bet Your Life on it real quick. I think we'll go. Well, I think it'll be the last one of this one. Colorado or Florida? 20, 25 years from now, we learn that not Vegas, not Biloxi, not AC are the gambling capitals of America, but rather it is Colorado or Florida for reasons for each state's reasons. Florida, of course, being a nice retirement area. There's good beaches, resorts, etc. Colorado, a little more progressive in the recreational drug use and has some outdoor activities involved. Which one of those two do you believe? You had to bet your life on it in 25 years. One of those are the gambling capitals of America. Which one comes out on top?
Again, I'm biased when it comes to the Southeast, and so I would definitely have to lean towards saying Florida. One major part for me, for someone like me, would definitely be the weather. I couldn't. I want to visit Colorado one day, but I have very little love when it comes to snow and below freezing temperatures for weeks and months out of the year. That doesn't go well with me, and I think more so folks for vacation would love the weather and the scenery, everything in Florida more. But then obviously with all those retirement communities, like you're saying there, and all, you know, some of that older money, a lot of those folks I think would be, you know, they'd give a steady stream of business to some casinos and resorts down there if they, you know, had some more of them. So I would definitely have to say Florida.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was just down in Orlando, and one of the first things I thought was, a casino would be really nice right now. I would like to be at a casino. But I feel like that's sort of wherever I go, so who knows? Maybe that's not a reason to give it an edge. But I could definitely see it being like this resort area that could definitely benefit from. I mean, it is already a resort area, but, you know, adding a casino to those resorts and having that boom in a certain way, it would not be surprising. Rob, thank you so much for your time. Are you just at Mississippi Rob, or is there a number on it?
It's at Mississippi Rob 4, actually.
That's right, 4. That's right.
I put the 4 on there. I guess there was another Mississippi Rob, I'm not sure.
Well, as far as we're concerned, there's only one Mississippi Rob, and he is at Mississippi Rob 4. Sir, thank you so much for joining us, and I'm sure we'll talk to you soon.
That sounds good. Thanks again. I appreciate it.
Be well, Rob.
All right. Talk to y'all later.
All right. Big thanks again to Mississippi Rob for joining us. Eric, something I didn't realize until we just hit record with Mississippi Rob, and this is true of so many people, I think, in the community. You and him haven't actually met, right? Like,
no.
You've never had any, other than the Twitter interactions, you've never interacted personally or by the phone or anything like that, right?
That was the first time speaking with him in person. Never met him. Yep.
That's incredible. Isn't it amazing how that's true with so many people in this community? You realize, oh, snap, I've never actually either heard your voice, or when you finally meet them, be like, holy, like, I feel like I've known you for so long, but this is the first, like, handshake we're having. It's incredible, isn't it?
Well, it's really funny when listeners of whichever show where they pick up on things that you've said and they use it in conversation, and it's like they know something about you that, you know, you didn't tell them, but you kind of broadcast it and told everybody.
Yeah.
So it creates this like moment where you have to stop and be like, wait, is that what you're referencing? Okay, good. All right. I like that. That's good.
Yeah. Sometimes I don't realize how much the listeners are paying attention, because you can bet on that announced that they had to like postpone a week, and people were making jokes about how I was going to throw off my calendar, because I commented on how that You Can Bet on That comes out every other week opposite of my payday, and so it's either I get paid or I get a new episode of You Can Bet on That, and they were like making jokes about it as soon, and I was like, holy smokes, people really pay attention to the things I say. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was I gonna say, Eric? We still have shirts, Eric. I don't know if you have what? You have two of them, right? One of them, two of them, one of them. You have the Better Life.
I have one. I have the Better Life.
Yeah, that's right. I need to put a new order in for the analytics one and get that one over to you.
Yep.
The betterlife.us/merch. Eric, it's on I got my planner right here. I don't know if you're one that uses like analog, like an analog planner or a journal or anything,
both.
Use both.
Yep.
I have one here. It helped me in quarter four as the first time I started using like an analog planner, and I'm hoping it'll help me here in Q1. One of the big goals for the quarter is to get the website and make it an actual website and not just a URL where people can go to buy shirts. because that's all it's really been as late. But quarter one, I'm not promising it's going to happen in January. It might happen the last week of March. I don't know. But part of my goals is this quarter is to get the website up and going and becoming an actual website where people can go to check out content and listen to shows. Hopefully some videos, Eric. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. What kind of videos are you referencing?
What? You weren't on board with that idea? You said we could use your suite. That's the first thing you said. I was like, let's make videos. And you're like, we can use my suite.
I think videos will be good, but I think the wink wink made it. I'm a little uncomfortable right now. I'm going to need to speak to your HR director. Who is the HR director here, you or me?
I don't know. Either way, I think it's bad news. I don't think the other one's getting fair representation if the other one's the HR rep.
All right, so I'm HR.
All right, that's fair. You can be
I call dibs.
Okay. All right.
You can be the CFO.
Okay, I can dig that. Right. I can dig that. But yeah, we're hoping to add some video elements to this, and of course, the website will be a place where those are hosted. You can use promo code YO11 at the shop. You don't have a shirt yet. There's a craps theme shirt, a sports betting theme shirt, and then the Better Life, a logo shirt. Use promo code YO11 for 11% off of that purchase. Eric, we're trying to do get a Blackjack and a Pie Gal shirt.
I sent you my idea for the Blackjack shirt. I think that's a good one.
I think we're going to use it. I dig it. I dig that idea a lot. So we'll announce that once it's designed. Patreon.com/TheBetterLife. Now that the NFL is wrapped up, I might have to put a little thought into what could be routine bonus content moving forward. I don't know. Maybe you and I just record an extra 10-20 minutes for the Patreon subscribers, maybe? Yeah, something like that. Maybe you can do.
You know, Mark and Dr. Mike used to do that when they had the app that you can bet on that app, and that bonus content was actually very valuable to me. I really enjoyed it. I think we should do that.
All right. We'll do that. We'll start this week. How about that?
Okay.
We'll start this week. Patreon.com/TheBetterLife. You can pitch in as much as a buck. You can get some of that bonus content. We're going to be pitching in some content from you, Eric, I hope, in the future. Some tips should you see things out in the comp world that people should know. I don't know. Maybe I'm reaching there. Am I reaching there?
No, we could do that. Yeah, that's okay. Fine.
Yeah, all right. In the future, we'll figure out what that looks like before we start doing it. Eric, you are back on Twitter, as we mentioned last time. You've come back from your Twitter diaspora. E. Rosenthal 10. I should know.
29.
I almost said 89. I was like, that's not right.
No.
E. Rosenthal 10:29. I am at The Better Life. Eric, good luck in your wagers this week. Thank you again to Mississippi Rob for joining us. Eric, you and I will be back next week for a full episode of you and me just talking whatever.
Very good. Looking forward to it.
All right. I am Timothy Lawson. For Eric Rosenthal, good night. Good luck.